Weathermen annoy the ever living crap out of me.
Can I get a
podcast?
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. This is Can I Get a Podcast? It is Wednesday, June the 5th. I am Jeffrey Cooperstein alongside my good friend and co-host, Chris Gross. Christopher, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good, Jeffrey. It's a good Wednesday to talk about sports. How are you today?
I'm good, Chris. We have a large sports week coming up here with both hockey and basketball in the finals. We have the Warriors and Raptors tied at one, game three tonight. Klay Thompson questionable. The Warriors are leaning towards sitting him out, and it makes it all the more interesting.
Yes, and I think that's an interesting aspect of this where if the Warriors win this, so you've made five straight finals. If you win, you've won four out of five. And I think it's not even question that this would be the best champion. Like, I'm trying to think of the right way to word it. This would be the most impressive just because of the injuries that you've had to deal with.
Yeah.
You haven't had Durant. Dude, it's looking to me.
He's not going to play.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play at all in the series. Steve Kerr said yesterday he's just now getting back onto the floor to practice. Like, that's not a good sign. And if you're leaning towards Klay Thompson being out, then I think too that that injury is more impactful than the way they made it seem to start.
Yeah, I mean Klay got a hamstring. You could see him noticeably limping, and it's not like hamstrings just heal overnight. I mean, those things hurt for a week and a half. So it would be tough for Klay to play tonight.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance he could play in game four, but I think they want to be very cautious. I think if they were down 2-0,
yeah,
I think Klay would be playing tonight. And maybe even KD,
yeah,
for that matter.
Yeah, I think too, definitely them winning game two in Toronto gave it you a little bit of a safer ride. Like, I think you definitely, like, I agree 100%. I think you're rushing KD back much quicker. If you're down in the series, especially if you're down 2-0 with a chance of one of your or two of your superstars being out in a game where you could fall down 3-0. So
we have a report in here from Woj and Woj, excuse me, whatever his name is, and Ramona Shelburne saying the Warriors staff wants Thompson to sit, but Thompson is lobbying to play.
Okay.
So that's where we're at.
So yeah, I think you're right. I think you've now taken home field or a home court back. I think you sit him in this game, and then, hey, if you win, all's good. If not, you've still got another home game, and you're headed back to Toronto. You play him Friday, and if you win, you're headed back to Toronto with a chance to still with home court advantage.
And this just sets it up perfectly for it to go Warriors in six.
Yeah.
Because if Klay is not playing tonight, I think the Raptors are winning this game. And then in game four, the Warriors will be playing with urgency, and they'll probably have Klay back, maybe even KD back, and they'll win that game. And it goes tied 2-2 going back to Toronto. So I think it sets up perfectly just how everyone thinks it's going. Toronto has looked a lot better than I thought they would in this series so far. Their tenacity has been really good. They played with a lot of energy. Obviously, Siakam had that unbelievable game one we talked about last time. And you know, tonight is just another night to show that they belong here.
Yeah, and looking at game two, obviously the start to the end of the second quarter, start to the third quarter, where the Warriors came out on an 18-0 run.
Yes.
Can't have that
they
if
didn't,
you're the Raptors.
Toronto didn't score, in the first 4.5 minutes
yeah,
it was?
Yeah, it's something like that. You can't have that. And then the other interesting aspect of this game is, what do you do, like, how do you play Kawhi versus playing the other guys? And I think the way you do this is you say, okay, we're going to let Kawhi get his points, but we're not going to let anybody else beat us.
See, I think, and what they've done so far, I think, is the opposite.
Yeah.
I think they've tried to shut Kawhi down and kind of let the Danny Greens, the Fred Van Fleets of the world, they kind of let them try to beat him. And I think that's probably the right move, because Kawhi is so much better than the rest of his team that if you shut him down, and you get beat by Pascal Siakam, by those role players, I think you live with that.
Yeah.
But I think you have to do whatever you can to disrupt Kawhi.
And they lucked out in game, or I guess the plan worked in game two, where Siakam 5 of 18 from the floor, and Fred Van Vliet, who was good in game one and had been good in the series against Milwaukee
since he had his child.
Yeah, Yes.
Did you know he had a child, by
yes.
the way?
Yes. I love the storyline of...
The broadcast, if you listen to the broadcast, you would never know.
I love that he credit... What did he say in interviews? Like, it's all due to Fred Jr.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I think that... I love that storyline. But, yeah, he even, I believe, had an offer for the second half
in
game
right.
two. So, yeah, look, the way I just look at it is those guys have potential, and then you've got Gasol as well. Those guys have potential of going off. And to me, it's like, look, Kawhi's going to get his points either way. And I'm okay with Kawhi beating me. Like, okay, I'm going to let Kawhi score, and if that's how we lose, that's how we lose. I don't want a Pascal Siakam beating me in game one. That's what I don't
but
want.
But look, that's not happening again. Pascal Siakam's not going 14 for 17 from the floor again.
No.
That we know of.
Yeah, I agree. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. We're talking NBA Finals here on Can I Get a Podcast? I guess going into game three, now that you're back in Oakland, the thing about the Warriors is like they're so fun to watch, and they play just such a sweet, I
appealing.
Guess.
Appealing.
Yeah, it's appealing form of basketball. They assisted on, I believe it was 34 of 37 baskets.
Yeah, it wasn't it. It was all baskets in the second half.
Yeah, 22 out of 22, something like that. So it's just it's a crazy way of playing basketball. And this to me is like, this is how you're going to win in basketball. Like, okay, obviously it helps that you have all the great players. But when you're doing something like that, if you're Toronto, I mean, with the ball movement they have, if you can, now with Klay Thompson not in, it's going to be different, but with guys who can get going from anywhere, I mean, that's a hard style of basketball to beat.
The Warriors style.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think with Thompson and KD out, the Warriors might try to adjust that style a little bit, and I think they might try to go more inside to Boogie and try to let Boogie have an impact on this series because while he's out there, when they're playing their style and Boogie's out there, they have that, you know, their full-blown lineup out there. It's unstoppable. Boogie has shown an ability to be able to score off out of nothing and create his own shot one-on-one. And I think maybe that's where they look to get some secondary scoring because you know Steph's going to have a big night for them to have any chance of winning. And I think they'll try to look to Boogie to try to get some secondary scoring in there.
Boogie much better in game two than in game one.
Yes.
We're only 8 minutes in game one. And look, he was
supposed to play 20 minutes in game two and he ended up playing 28.
Yeah, so. And he made an impact on the offensive end. I mean, he had some pretty sweet assists in that one too. So Boogie was making quite the impact. Part of the issue for the Warriors, it's like you said, so if Klay Thompson doesn't play tonight, you've got Thompson out, you've got KD out, and Kevon Looney's out for the rest of the series too.
Are you starting Sean Livingston? Are you starting Quinn Cook? Are you starting Alphonso McKinney?
See,
I don't think you can start Alphonso McKinney in an NBA Finals game. That's
no,
just me.
And the thing, too, is about how they wanted Steve Kerr's avoidance of Quinn Cook early in the playoffs. So is that something you want to go to here? That's where this issue for me with the Warriors is. You're going up against a really good team in the Raptors, and now you're losing so much offense, losing those three guys. I still think the Warriors are the favorites in this series, but if you're just looking at it purely from you want a longer series with good basketball, this definitely helps like the length of this series.
Steph MVP update, he's doing very well here in these first two games. If he has a signature moment, a signature game tonight,
yeah,
he could all but lock it up.
I think you're right. I think he could lock it up. Except Iguodala had the clutch basket.
Yes.
So
he did.
The stat, I'm trying to remember, it was like he was, I believe, 1 of 16 from 3 on his previous 17 shots before that. So just clutch.
We're the biggest Steph Finals MVP fans podcast.
There is nobody who wants more than that. Dude, did you see that story about Nick Wright on FS1? He was talking about this, and he said that it was, now I can't remember which year it was, but it was the year when Iguodala won it.
Yeah, that was the first year they won.
Okay. He said that it was the writers and whoever who voted on it had already put in their picks, and it was a tie between Curry and Iguodala, and he said that the media all met together, and now this has all been debunked as false, but he said the media all met together, and they decided, okay, we're going to vote for Iguodala instead of Curry.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if that was true?
And Steph did have a great series, that series, but Iguodala obviously made the difference. But whatever Nick Wright says, I kind of go with the opposite. He isn't known as a credible reporter.
It was part of it, too, is he said as part of this he must have, like, found something on this, like a false story or something.
Someone, like, leaked it to him, and he kind of ran with it.
And because he said the other thing is they thought about going all to LeBron, but they didn't want to give it to LeBron because you didn't want to give it to a guy on the losing team.
And LeBron averaged 35-8 that loss. I think, like, if I was voting, I'm giving that to LeBron.
So I can't remember now, but as I looked at the final ballot, I saw this a couple days ago. There were three or four guys who voted for LeBron.
You should have, or I would have at least.
So, okay, so we are going into game three tonight. By the time we record our podcast next, the series could be wrapped up because you got game three tonight, you got game four on Friday, game five on Monday, is that correct?
Yeah, I know game four is Friday. Yeah, I would assume game five Monday.
What do you think happens in this series, just as we wrap up our conversation here? So let's say, game three on Monday, or game five on Monday, and then game six would be on next Thursday, the 13th. So we'll say we record before that game. So we'll say five games have happened, or three more games through game five has happened by the time we record next. Where are we at in this series?
After five, it's going to be 3-2 Raptors, I think.
Okay.
And my original prediction was Warriors in six. But I think the Raptors are going to win tonight, Wednesday, and I think they're going to win game five back at home. We'll see what happens. KD could be back by game five. There's just so many variables that are in this series. There's a lot of different storylines, a lot of things that could happen. But if I had to guess right now, I would say 3-2 Raptors.
I think it is going to be 3-2. I'll say 3-2 Warriors just because I think they're going to be able to figure it out. It wouldn't surprise me either way. The one thing I can't see an outcome is by the time we record next that the series is over and the Warriors have won.
Yeah, I don't think game five will be the deciding game either way.
Yeah. I don't think that can happen. But there are official predictions, our official podcast predictions here.
Trademark.
Yes, trademarked. Don't take this to the bank. Do not take this to the sports book.
Or do it.
No,
but don't blame us.
Or I say side with Jeffrey or go the opposite of what I say. You don't want to take what I say to the bank. We can't be held liable for our picks that we made here. But that's going to do it for our NBA discussion. When we come back, a couple interesting articles on the state of baseball. Do we like where the state of Major League Baseball is at right now? That's next right here. Can I Get a Podcast?
Cool. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. Can I Get a Podcast? I am Jeffrey Cooperstein alongside Chris Gross. Chris, we both of us read some articles earlier this week about some big changes that have happened to baseball over the last couple of years and kind of just how the game has changed overall.
Let's talk about where baseball is at. And I'll give credit to some guy named Chuck Cooperstein.
Don't know.
He passed these articles along on Monday, and I thought it was just an interesting snapshot of where are we at in baseball right now. And I'm just going to go through some stats. So these first bunch of stats that I'm going to go through is from Jason Stark's piece in The Athletic. He talked about, it was an article titled 10 Things We Learned in May. So just some of the things he said. All previous home run history is irrelevant. At this pace, there will be 6,516 home runs hit this season.
That's a lot.
That would be nearly 1,000 more than last year.
That's crazy.
2,500 more than 5 years ago. Before this season, exactly two teams in history had hit 90 homers in their first game of the season. So this has happened.
Their first game of the season.
First 50 games of the season, sorry. So this has happened twice in the entire history of Major League Baseball. Three teams have done it this year. The Twins, the Astros, and the Mariners. So two
The Astros
previous,
always at the forefront.
And that makes you salty.
They're at the forefront of a lot of things.
10 different teams on pace to break their all-time franchise record for home runs in a season. Okay. Lots of home runs being hit.
I love home runs.
And yes, I agree. Home runs are great, like in the large scheme of things. But as we look at more of this, let's talk about shifts too. So home runs have taken over in baseball. So has the shift.
We need to bring Joe Girardi in here and get his opinion on the shift.
The shift. at this rate, there will be some type of defensive shift deployed on more than 44,500 balls in play. That's an increase of 28% from last year. No team shifted 1,900 times last season, but seven teams are on pace for that this year. So the shift is up in baseball. So more home runs.
We know that. We know where baseball is. It's a three true outcome sport at the moment. It's a strikeout, a walk, or a homer.
Defense is down. Let me see here. So we're at 9.04 assists per game so far this year. As recently as 2015, it was at 10, as high as 11 per game. So defense is down in baseball.
And that's also because more balls are being put in the air, and when you catch it, there's no assist.
And that's fair, but we have seen teams like the Mariners this year, the Orioles this year, just very, very poor defensive teams.
They are poor, yes.
And double plays. The average team now only turns 0.82 double plays per game. That's down 0.09. It was 0.91 again 2 years ago. Again, more balls in the air.
Yep.
So that's where we're at here. And one other article. So that was all from Jason Stark. And then I don't want to go through all this because this is a really, really long article from Dave Sheehan from a couple weeks ago in the Washington Post. And he's talking about how velocity has taken over baseball. Justin Verlander says it's a new age of baseball. Fundamentally, it's velocity that's driving it. So this is a much different game of baseball than it was 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. Do you like where we're at in the state of baseball right now?
I think it's fun, personally. I know a lot of people don't have that opinion, but I think it's really fun seeing guys on the mound that can throw 99, that can throw 101, and seeing a guy in the batter's box that can take that 91 to 101 and tank it the other way, 105 miles an hour off the bat. I think that's really cool. I like seeing the athleticism, just the pure strength that's shown between man versus man. And I think I like where the game's at right now.
So part of the velocity, too, is just where you get to the specialization and the utilization of the bullpen, where you used to have guys who you would want your starting pitcher to go 8 or 9 innings. We are not there anymore.
Those days are long gone.
To where now you're seeing 4 or 5 relievers a game.
Nolan's rolling around in his proverbial grave.
Well, he's not dead.
That's why I said proverbial.
Yes, absolutely. You don't get workhorse guys like that anymore. Like, okay, you have a couple guys who are able to.
You
do
have
that.
Guys like Verlander, and you have guys like Scherzer that can go deep in every game, but it doesn't happen often.
And so, guys like that, they can keep their velocity up. So it's even more rare than a guy who's able to go deep and whatever. But that's just the rare part of the game now. So the part that kind of annoys me is I hate having all the pitching changes in baseball. But
So you're a fan of the rule next year that's going to be implemented, the 3-batter rule?
Yes, absolutely.
See, I'm not at all because I think it takes away a lot of strategy.
But to me, it's I like baseball. But what I don't like is a game like last night where you have to watch Rangers-Orioles for almost 4 hours.
Well, that's different. There were also like 23 runs scored in the game.
Yes, but you were going into the ninth, and we were like at a 3.5-hour game. So the Rangers scored 6 in the ninth. If you take those away, look, that's not the kind of baseball I like. And so anything to me that'll cut time down, yes, I get its strategy. And the whole thing about velocity, it's exactly what you said. You're trying to reverse against baseball, and it's somewhere in one of these articles, too, that talks about how the ball is juiced. The ball is absolutely juiced. Like, there's
100%. Like, it's to the point where MLB is not even denying it anymore.
Yeah. There's no question that they've... I guess there was... Who was it that dug it up a couple years ago?
So, in 2017,
yeah.
there were a lot of juicing conspiracies. I'll run through it here first. So they juiced it at the beginning of the season, and then they juiced it again in the World Series. They double juiced him, and that's why Darvish says he struggled. The ball was completely different, et cetera, et cetera. Then in 2018 they unjuiced it, and now they juiced it back to the original 2017 ball, to where the ball's flying out of the park more. You could throw it faster. You could throw it more spin rate, et cetera.
Which I'm fine with. And the utilization of the bullpen and the pitchers is kind of a reaction to what we have on offense. Where if you got a guy, like you said, who can, where you've got five or six guys on in your lineup who can take you deep every time they're at the plate, you've got to have a reaction to that. Like, you obviously don't want a guy, so let's just go to last night, for example. You don't want a guy like Drew Smyly going through the lineup three or four times.
I don't want Drew Smyly going through the lineup one time.
No, and I agree with that. But you've got guys like that on almost every staff. And so your reaction to that is, okay, we're going to, after five or six innings, we're just going to make this a bullpen game. Because we can bring guys out here who are going to throw 99 miles an hour versus
right. We
get a schlub like Drew Smyly who's going through the lineup for the
third
time.
And I think that's where some strategizing comes in too, because you can build your roster around that. You can build your roster through the bullpen. You can have five, six, even seven guys that can go out there, throw gas, and get outs. And that's how some rosters were built. I mean, look at the bullpens that are in the playoffs. Like the Yankees had a bullpen like that
where
you could put five or six guys in there that can just throw absolute gas and throw it by anybody. And some teams, and I think the new rule, that the three batter rule, you're changing fundamentally how you build rosters.
I agree with that, that it is going to change the way how you put your team together. But to me, that's a bigger issue for baseball, where they are worried about eyes on TV screens, and especially butts in seats. Like, you have to make an appealing game, and to me, three pitching changes in an inning is not appealing. To me, I don't want to watch that. Now, if we're in the World Series, okay.
So we're going to change the rules for the World Series?
No, but what I'm saying is that's the slim chance that I'm okay with it. So I'm okay with just banning it outright. Like, it's not worth it to me to, I will sacrifice the Dave Roberts moves that he's making in game three of the World Series for Chris Woodward playing the bullpen game on July 2nd against Kansas City. I don't care. I just simply don't care.
Well, and I think the regular season in baseball, too, is just so long that those games do get a little, you know, they drag out a little bit.
If you want to chop some games off the season, I might be in favor of giving this back to you. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. The other part of this is, how many home runs are being hit? And you brought it up earlier, just the three true outcome. I don't even know how you describe it.
Strikeout, walk, home run.
Yes.
I tried to combine strikeout and walk there in my voice.
Yeah, it's the culture of where we're at in baseball now, where you're doing one of those three things, and that's it. I'm okay with it. Like, I know a lot of people aren't. It's worth it to me to see all the strikeouts for you getting a game like we saw in Pittsburgh earlier this year where
I love seeing the long ball.
Yeah.
I want to see a ball hit 450 feet.
Singles are boring.
Absolutely. Look, Joey Gallo is like my favorite player ever. He hits more homers than singles, and I think it's perfect.
It's
you know what makes it even more awesome?
Yeah.
All the olds are mad about it.
They are. And I don't know why that is. It's because it's
not fundamentally correct.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love a good pitcher's duel every now and then.
Sure.
Like, when you get guys who are going into the eighth inning and no runs or one run. But nothing is more fun than when you get a guy like Drew Smyly who you can just tee off on.
Oh, I know it.
Like,
you see the other team sees Drew Smyly on the lineup card and they are licking their chops.
Yeah. The other thing, you can tell me if you agree with this or not. The other reason I think this is messing with old people is because with the three true outcome model of baseball where we're at now, you have to look at players and you have to look at stats differently.
Absolutely. Like, you don't look at average as a fundamental stat anymore. And the people who watched baseball in the 1960s and 70s think average is the end-all be-all of offensive stats, and it's just not that way anymore.
We've gotten to a point where the batting average RBIs are not the credible stats that they used to be.
No,
because
you're looking at OPS, you're looking at offensive war, defensive war, all that. You're looking at launch angle, and you're looking at all these different indicators that are better indicators than what average RBI are.
As we were talking about something, your dad was in on game night, and we were talking player, Chuck Cooperstein.
Oh.
And I came to his defense. Oh, he said Joey Gallo was a MVP candidate.
Absolutely is.
And so I was trying to come to his defense, and I said, Joey Gallo, sixth best WAR in baseball, fourth best in the American League. And he goes, no, I don't care about WAR. And I was like,
Yeah.
But he's not alone. Like, there are a lot of people who don't.
But it's the people in his age bracket that are like that don't care that WAR is just so happens to be the most all-encompassing stat there is, and they just want to ignore it for some reason. I don't get it.
WAR is, to sum it up, like, as easily and most efficiently as possible, it is the all-around stat to tell you how good a player is.
Yes.
Like, there is, to me, there isn't a better indicator of when you're comparing two players. Like, you can look at Mike Trout right now, who's got the best WAR, and you can see, look at Mike Minor, who I believe last time I checked was like
the second highest
WAR among pitchers. To me, that's your telling stat. Like, for pitchers, okay, ERA, who cares about wins? Don't care about wins.
Because no one goes five innings anymore.
Yeah, and you don't know what kind of run support you're going to get. Like, the Rangers have this bad habit of they give great run support to a rando. And
but
for guys like Mike Minor, they can't get two runs a game.
Or like Darvish never got run support when he was here.
Yeah, so looking at Darvish's win-loss record, it doesn't paint a good picture. But when you look at even something like WHIP or his WAR,
right?
Yeah, that's how you get a better better snapshot. And I think that's part of it too, where we've transitioned to a different game of baseball being played, but we're also have moved into a different way of studying and analyzing baseball. And I think that's a change that's hard for a lot of people to make.
Change is always hard.
Yeah.
In anything. And I think people will finally, hopefully, warm up to it after years and years of data to back it up. I think it's going to take a while for everyone to start thinking this way. And as soon as we get everyone to start thinking this way, baseball is going to change again, and there'll be, you know, new information.
I want to go look at Mike Minor's WAR. Let me see if I can find it. This is going to take too long. But yeah, I mean, I looked a couple days ago, and I'm pretty sure he was second in Major League Baseball in WAR among pitchers.
No, he's been up there, and he's having a very good year.
MVP candidate Mike Minor?
Probably not, no. I think your team has to be a little better. But I say that, Joey Gallo wasn't an MVP candidate before he got hurt.
Yes. But that's going to do it for the podcast here today. Fun discussion. To you oldies out there, get on board.
Get with the times.
It's either get on the bandwagon or you're going to get run over. Like, you have one of two options.
Adapt or die.
Adapt or die. Exactly right. Before we close things out, we will go to the 24-second shot clock. We do this at the end of every podcast. You get 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want. But when that 24 seconds is up, you stop talking and we move on to the next person. Jeffrey, I'll go first here. TCU baseball had a valiant run into the postseason. They got a 3 seed. And they made it to the Arkansas Regional, unfortunately not moving past there. Great season, not great season, surprisingly making the tournament, so that's good for TCU baseball. The sad part, we are now empty from college sports until college football rolls around, and we're just a couple months away.
Mm.
So I'm sad about TCU baseball, but what that means is that college football is just right around the corner.
It's too long. We need, like, more college football. I've said this so many times. You know all my million-dollar ideas as far as it comes to college football.
Maybe cut some games out of the Major League Baseball season and donate them to college football.
Why not?
Yeah.
Don't make sure no one hears that so we can have that idea and get rich off it.
I'll just put the big bleep throughout this part of the podcast. Jeffrey, let's go to you. Your 24 seconds begin now.
Dude, I think I might have done this 24 seconds before, but weathermen annoy the ever-living crap out of me. These dudes swear the end of the world is coming every single time there's a storm, and every single time the storm is not as long as the storm happens to be. They interrupt your programming, first of all. Chris, you know about this well with The Bachelor and Pete. And I'm tired of it. I think I have done that before.
But it's worth repeating.
Yeah.
No one likes talking like you get salty about so many things like driving, weathermen. Was it something that happened today because it rained today?
Well, I literally just saw Pete Delkus on my timeline and it just sparked in me. I sent you that thing, I think it was last week, where that guy was literally yelling at the viewers, telling him to not interrupt The Bachelor, I think it was.
Because they interrupted The Bachelor for like a tornado watch. or something like very serious.
A very serious storm, and these people were yelling at this guy to not interrupt.
I'll tell you what's
would you have been mad?
Yes, because what's frustrating about that is, like, even if you were recording the episode, it records what you're watching.
So you
you're
couldn't
missing
have come
a
back
chunk
and watch
of the
it.
Show. The only way you could do that is, like, you would have to log in, like, on abc.com. And
you
that's just a pain.
It.
Because then you have to watch, like, their mandatory ads and all that. So, yes, I absolutely would have been mad. Because this is, like, probably bad to say, but I really don't, like, pay attention to the weather.
Like, I mean, I do. Like, if it's severe, I'll pay attention to it. And if it's, like, coming to my area, I'll pay attention to it. But other than that, no.
I seriously will, like, wake up in the morning and, like, walk out with having no idea what the weather's going to be like. Like, there could be, like, today, like, we had pretty, I don't know if it was serious storms, but it rained a lot this morning. I had no idea the rain was coming. Like, I do not pay attention to the weather at all. And that's probably not good.
There's been a couple times, might have been during the finals or during some college football, where it's interrupted, and I get pissed off. I'm like, Pete, get off my screen. I know you listen to this podcast. Please stop interrupting our shows and games.
So here's, like, my million-dollar idea, and you can tell me what you think.
Okay.
So what you do, you flash for, like, 5 seconds, and you say, severe warning, check out, like, our Periscope. And so then you, like...
Why not?
Yeah, because everybody has a smartphone nowadays.
Yeah, you could even make it severe warning, Dallas County, you know, whatever county it is. And that's all you got to do.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like, oh, it's coming here at this much miles an hour from the northwest. It just doesn't matter.
Severe flood warning until 9:30.
Who cares? Get over it.
I think that was a great way to close things out. Before we get out of here, Jeffrey, you are on Twitter. Throw your Twitter handle out there.
It is at jcoopjr27.
I'm at Chris's Gross, KRISISGROSS. I will put our Twitter handles. We'll put links there in the show notes. Check that out. But Jeffrey,
yeah,
that's people finding our Twitter is a good way for us to spread the podcast. What's another good way for us to get the word about the podcast out there?
So I actually just DM'd one of my friends on Instagram, and I told him to listen to the podcast.
Okay.
And he has quite a few followers, so he'll have quite a few, about, you know, 5,000-6,000 people listening to this podcast by the end of the day.
But the most important person to tell is...
your ex-wife.
You have to tell your ex-wife. Jeffrey, that's going to do it. We'll be back next week, hopefully not recapping the NBA Finals. Hopefully things will still be going. We'll be talking NBA Finals. We'll do that next week. Can I get a podcast?
Okay, thanks.